Last week at youth camp, I had something already prepared to teach on this morning, but this past week at youth camp, the Lord gave me a whole new message, and I worked on that Friday night and then yesterday morning, and it's titled, Somebody's Watching You. Yep. This past week at youth camp, as I sat in the cafeteria at lunch, me and my wife sat there, and then Carolina Barlow came and sat across from us and had her lunch, and she sat down there, and she looked at me, and she said, Brother Walter, I'm watching you. I said, Carolina, I got my eyes on you too. So then the day went on, and we was outside, and me and my wife was outside taking pictures of all the kids, and Carolina was sitting on there, and once again she said, Brother Walter, I'm watching you. And then at that point, I felt the Holy Spirit speak to me and say, just like Carolina is watching you, many other kids and adults are also watching you. What do people see as they look at you and the way that you live your life? What kind of an example are you making for all the people that you're around? Actions speak louder than words. You know, we can either be a good example or we can be a bad example. Look at Philippians chapter 2. Verse 14, it says, Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. That word murmuring means grumbling or complaining. You know, if kids see us grumbling and complaining, you know, they're going to pick up the same habit and they're going to do the same thing. And that word disputing means to argue. You know, if we start arguing with our spouse or with somebody else, you know, we're setting a bad example for the young people. We need to be careful what we say and how we say it, especially around kids. They will pick up on these things. And around the lost people out in the world, you know, we need to be careful what we say because they will judge us from what the words that come out of our mouth. Philippians 2:15 says that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom you shine as lights in the world. To be blameless is to find no fault. To be harmless is to be free from harm. And without rebuke is with approval. We need to live our lives blameless and harmless, without fault, and free from harm as the sons of God. As Christians, we ought to have God's approval on how we live our lives. And that includes the way we talk, the way we act, the way we dress, the things that we watch, the things that we allow our children to watch, the music we listen to, the people we hang around with. After all, the Bible says that we are in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. That word crooked means to be dishonest. The word perverse means to turn away from what is right or good, corrupt. Wouldn't you say today that the world that we live in today is crooked and perverse? most of the world today has turned their back on God, and they care more about themselves and the things of the world than they do about God. They don't care about your children or my children, and a lot of them don't even care about their own children. If we don't take a stand and set a good example for our young people to follow, the world and the devil will deceive them and lead them astray. If you got your Bible, turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Second Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2, it says, Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. By the way, the word of God is the King James Bible. It's not all them other watered-down, sugar-coated versions. That's man's opinion. The King James Bible says in Revelation 22:18-19, not to take away or add from God's word. By the way, this is God's perfect word, and it's the closest thing that we'll ever have to the original manuscripts. You know, I'm glad to be a part of the bus ministry and go out and pick up kids that otherwise wouldn't get to come to church if somebody didn't take the time and go get them and bring them to church. You know, we got to see a couple of young men get saved over this past week from our church, and it was good to be a part of that. We need to be good examples for others to follow, but especially for young people. It says in 2 Timothy 4:2, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. That word long-suffering is to be patient. And the word doctrine means teaching. You know, we need to be patient with our young people. You know, a lot of times we get these young people, you get a lot of them in the same room, and they get a little bit rowdy. They'll keep you up late at night. You know, some of us go to bed at 8 or 9 o'clock. Well, you might be up to midnight some nights because of the young people. But in reality, you know, they've been through a lot of preaching. It's bedtime for some of us, but they're just trying to let off some of the energy, and we just have to be patient with them and take and spend some time with them. Sometimes you have to get on to them. You have to rebuke them and teach them right from wrong. Otherwise, they won't know. You know, sometimes you have to chase them down and find out where your cell phone's at, Brother Blake. We need to teach our young people right from wrong, and what better way for them to learn than by them watching us live right. We need to be long-suffering with our young people, just as the Lord has been long-suffering with us. You know, I thank the Lord that He has been long-suffering. He's had patience with me, because I've not been easy to teach, and I know that I've been rebellious, and I've done all the things that I shouldn't do before I surrendered to the Lord for Him to use me and to teach me the right things to do. We need to teach our young people the truth and the ways of the Lord. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 4, 3 and 4, it says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." So, you know, that time is right now. It's not coming. It is here now that people have turned away from the truth and they've turned to lies and to fables. We need to do what we can to invest in our young people that's within our reach. If we don't step up and step out and try to reach them and teach them and let them know that we care and that God cares, the devil will do what he can to destroy them. I'm not going to call no names, but I heard a testimony this past week of a young man that wanted to take his life, and he tried to take his life, but the Lord prevented that. And there's people like that all around us in every community, and we need to try to do what we can to reach people like that. There's people all around us, young and old, that think that nobody cares about them. You know, I got the opportunity week before last to have a man that was going through a lot of things come to my house, and I prayed with him, and me and my wife talked with him. And he's just battling so many things, and he thinks that nobody cares about him. But I try to tell him, you know, we care about you. The Lord cares about you, and I try to get him to come to church. And I hope and pray that when he gets well, that maybe he'll come to church. And that you know, I don't know if he says he's saved, and I hope he's saved. But, you know, I'd like to have him sitting on one of these pews with us. You know, many people just need a godly influence in their lives. Many are watching you, but they don't see any difference in you than they do in the rest of the world. And it's a sad reality that us as Christians don't live better than what we do out in the world and try to be a better example for the lost people than what we are. Look in Philippians chapter 2, verse 15. It says in the last part of that verse, "Among whom ye shine as lights in the world." Many Christians have let their lights burn out, and now they are just hid in the darkness. Folks, we need to put some more wood on the fire, recharge our batteries, relight the candle, or whatever it takes for us as Christians to lead by example, to let others see Christ in us. Turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 and verses 14 through 16, it says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth more light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." We should live our lives in a way that others in the house and those around us see our light shining bright and know that there's something different about us. Look in Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4 and verse 13. It says, "And now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." What do people see when they look at the way you live your life? It says here, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." You see, how we live our lives tells a story, but you see, not all stories are true. Some stories are fictions or lies. Some stories are part truth and part fiction. Sometimes you might read a book that says it's fiction. It might be a good book, but it's just an invented story. It's made up. Then there are books that are based on the true story. It tells what really happened and how it happened. The question is, what kind of story are you telling when others look at how you live your life? Let's look at a few godly people in the Bible and the story that was told by the way they lived their lives. Look at Acts chapter 4, back up to verse number 7. And it says, this is number one, is the way you talk. It says, "And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole." Look at verse number 10. It says, "Be it known unto you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which is set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the cornerstone. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." And then verse 13 again, it says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." Peter and John's life told a story. It was a true story. They preached and told others about Jesus Christ and what he had done. They said, "We do these things by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead. Even by him doth this man stand here before you whole." These men stood up for the truth, and others could see it by the way they lived their lives. They said these men were unlearned and ignorant men, and they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. This word marveled means surprised, and that word knowledge is knowing something. So they were surprised, but they knew that they had been with Jesus. And then in Acts 4:20, it says, "For we cannot but speak these things which we have seen and heard." These men's story was read by others by the way they talked. What do others think when they hear your conversation? Number two is by what you do. Look at Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. And we'll start in, let's start in verse 4. It said, "Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing, that it be not charged according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree." In verse number 10, it says, "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime." We see here that King Darius has signed a decree that no one could pray to any god or man unless they pray to him. We see here in verse 10 that when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Daniel continued to pray to God just like he always had. He did not try to hide it. It says that the windows were opened in his chamber. You know, he could have went into his house and shut those windows, and they probably wouldn't have hurt him. But he didn't choose to do that. You know, a lot of us, when we leave the church, we're going to go out and we're going to shut the window so people can't hear us. People can't see what we're doing. It says, "And he gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime." Daniel continued to pray just like he always had. He did not try to hide it. It says that the windows were open in his chamber. It says that he could have shut the window so that he couldn't be heard, but he didn't. That's how he always prayed to God. As he continued to pray to God like he always had, somebody was watching him. Look at verse number 11. It says, "Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God." So even when we don't realize it, we always got somebody watching us and seeing what we're doing at all times. You know, Daniel could have chose not to pray for the 30 days, but he didn't choose to do that. He chose to keep on serving God and praying to God just like he had always done. And as Christians, that's what we need to do. But we need to be careful what we do and how we do it, because somebody is always watching us. Daniel's life told a story by what he did. These men found Daniel praying and being faithful to God. Remember, actions speak louder than words. And that's what I got for this morning. I got any questions or comments? We'll be dismissed. Lord God, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for your word and your truth, Lord. We thank you for just allowing us to come to your house this morning, Lord, and just to hear your word. I pray that you be with all the people that's traveling to get to church, Lord. I pray that you just keep them all safe, Lord. I pray that you be with all the ones on the prayer list, Lord. And I pray that you be with the lost souls, Lord. And I pray that you be with Brother Drew in the next hour, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.